Well, I get to share this week and next week because the message is a two-part message. And the title of the message is A Servant from God's Perspective. How many know that when God looks at a servant, it may be a little different than what we look at it? I mean, being a servant, there's a lot of things that are small gestures that we do and whatever that I think are really nice. I mean, we may bake a pie for someone or take food over to their house if they've been sick or whatever. And I think those are all kind gestures. But how many know that servitude or servanthood or being a servant goes beyond that? Can have an amen. All right, this is what we're going to be talking about. And so just kind of looking at 2022, I believe that God wants us to accomplish a lot of things. I really do. And I know that's the heart of Pastor Jeff as well, that God's perfect will be done in this year. I know we've had some hard years in the last couple of years, but I believe today is going to be a tremendous breakthrough. Good place to say amen again. I really believe that with all my heart. And I'll tell you why, because I believe God's doing something in the body of Christ. Often when we go through things, we learn a lot. And in that learning process, we realize that when you get sick and tired of being sick and tired, you want to do something about it. And I believe we're at a place now that we definitely want to do that. So we're going to talk about the heart of a servant. For us to accomplish in 2022, I believe that we're going to have to get serious about having the heart of a servant. And I know when you start talking about servanthood and really what the definition of that is, people get a little bit uncomfortable because often we want to do our own thing rather than doing the things that God would want us to do. And so we're going to try to dispel some of those things as far as the ideas of what people may have. Well, if I become the kind of servant God wants me to become, I'm not going to be able to do all the things that I want to do. Listen, we've got to come to a place that we will yield our lives and our will over to God. And know this. Now, listen to me. I believe that people that have a true servant's heart have the ability to be the happiest people in all the world. When you're serving, have you ever taken a pie or cake or to someone or done a nice gesture for someone? And after you did it, maybe you gave them some money because they were having hard times and you felt so good about it. How many know what I'm talking about? Well, there's a lot that we can do in 2022, I think, will be a game changer. Now, listen to me. To be a servant is subjection. I mean, we're going to make ourselves subject to God, subject to the things of God, the direction of God, but it's not given in the idea of bondage. You can be a servant of God, truly willing your will to Him and everything you do. And listen, that's not bondage, that's a blessing. Being a servant is a blessing. So what I want to do here is just a real quick introduction. I want us to first begin by finding out what a real servant is, related to the Christian. I think there's a lot of people out there that don't have a right definition, but I believe the Bible gives us the right definition. Now, here's what Webster said. Webster says, a servant is one who serves or does service for another. Now, here's the word a lot of people don't like. A slave, a person ardently devoted to another or to a cause. Now, in layman's terms, all right, where we can understand this, a servant is one who gives himself over to God and to the will of God. And that's where we're going to live. Every day of our life, that's where we're going to live. The early Christians even called themselves servants. And that's who we are, whether you identify yourself as such. Every born-again child of God is defined as being a servant of God. Now, the Apostle Paul, I want you to follow me in this. This first message is kind of an introduction into what we're going to talk about next week. And listen, you're going to get excited about what God is expecting out of us and what you have the ability to do. And we're going to see it in certain places in the Bible even today of what God's expectations are for us for 2022 and for our whole life. Because God wants us to be the kind of servants that He wants us to be. In Romans 1:1, the Apostle Paul declares himself to be a servant. It says, Paul, Romans 1:1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. but not only the Apostle Paul, but what about Peter? In 2 Peter 1:1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Christ Jesus. And then what about James? These are all books I really like in the Bible. Romans and, of course, all the writings of the Apostle Paul. But in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 1, James says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes are scattered abroad, greeting. All of these men here, they identified themselves as servants of God. Now, we can take this a step further, and we can look in the Bible and see what the Greek word is for servant, which is doulos. And here's what doulos means. Doulos means a bond slave. We see that in the Old Testament, that's the way the Apostle Paul saw himself. He was a bond slave. Now, when we use that word slave, a lot of people, well, what it means actually, you become the property of Jesus Christ. Do we ever see ourselves truly being the property of Jesus Christ? Listen, we're never going to be happy in life. We're never going to be where God wants us to be until we see ourselves as being a bond slave. Now, don't let that word disturb you in any way. A bond slave means that you're the property of Jesus Christ. Let me give you a little bit of background of this. In the book of Exodus, chapter 21, verses 1 through 6, it mentions something about a bond slave. A bond slave could have been, it was one that may have been bought by a slave owner or a master of such. And he had to serve so many years. Normally it was 7 years they had to serve. But the end of the 7 years, because the master was so good to the bond slave, he would give him an option. You can leave and be a free man, or you can stay and continue to serve me as your master. And there were many of them that made the decision, no, I want to stay and be your bond slave, and you be my master. So he would take the bond slave to the doorpost and put his ear up against him, and he would drive an awl through his ear that would mark him until death that he was to be a bond slave of the master that he had served already for 7 years. Now listen, that's a beautiful picture of who we are. Amen? In relationship to Jesus Christ, we are his bond slave. Not given in a bad way, but in a good way. In essence, we as Christians are bond slaves to Christ. We've been bought with a price. We're no longer ourselves. Look with me in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. It says, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? And you're not your own, for he bought you with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. When you give your heart and your life to Christ, I know a lot of people don't fully see it to the extent that it is. When you truly give yourself to God, you become the property of God. A lot of Christians don't see themselves as being that. That's when we become the most effective, whenever we become, and we know that when we become the property of Jesus Christ, we become the property of God. We know that within that, there's happiness, there's joy, there's peace, there's divine direction. Listen, God didn't create us that we could be lost in the wilderness for 40 years or the rest of our life. He wants us to get over in the Canaan land, and whenever you begin to serve God the way God wants us to serve him, that's where we're going to live. No matter what's happening in the world, you can live in the Canaan world, so to speak, from the standpoint it's flowing with milk and honey. And you're going to see in these servants in the Bible that that's where they lived. And God loved them and directed them. And these people, with all the conflict that they had, they were people that were victorious. They were people that served God, people that loved God. Many of the old patriarchs in the Old Testament, we'll talk a little bit about them. I like to get into that because I see the greatness in the fact that they were true servants of God. Greatness in the kingdom is determined by servitude. I had a teacher, I was sharing this with my Sunday school class this morning, but Dr. R.O. Corbin, some of you may have known him. When I was attending Southwestern Bible College, it's become Southwestern University now, but R.O. Corbin was the he was the president, and me and him became precious friends. And he spoke here at the church, I mean, on different occasions and whatever. I had him in some of my classes, and I've always let those that, whether they be teachers or pastors or whatever, it's important that we glean from them. And sometimes they say things, and it may be somewhat facetious in the way of being funny, but nonetheless, there can be a lesson that is learned. But R.O. Corbin, I mean, there's many times in his class that me and him would disagree on certain things, not in a bad way, but after the class, he'd say, okay, Dick Temple, come on, you're going to my office. We're going to settle this. We're going to talk this thing out. And we'd go in there, and we'd visit and whatever, and I'd leave with what I thought, and I left him there with his thoughts. But there's so much that he taught me. And he had asked me to do something on different occasions. He'd say, Dick, could you go take care of this for me? And I'd say, yeah, if that's what you want me to do. He said, okay, now remember, he said, the greatest among us is the servant of all. He was referring like the servant is the greatest of all. And I'm being the servant, you know, going to do what he's asked me to do. But, you know, that stuck with me. And I thought, you know, that is in the Bible. That's exactly what the Bible teaches. That the greatest among us, the master or the pastor or whatever, the greatest among us is the servant of all. In the 80s, I started writing a book. It's a book on leadership. And in that book, at that time, there was only two books that I knew of that really taught leadership. There's hundreds of them now. But there was only two books, and one of them was so far beyond my thinking and whatever that I really couldn't glean from it. But there was another book by Anderson that I began to read it. And it was just real simple, you know, concerning leadership. And so I gleaned from that. But in the writing of this book, I made it very clear and plain. Before you can be a good leader, you've got to be a good servant. Does that make sense? And the fact in the first two or three years of my ministry, I read the Gospels. I read other parts of the Bible, but I read the Gospel over and over again because I wanted to see what Jesus was all about. I wanted to see what he thought about certain things concerning ministry, you know. I meant praying for the sick and casting out devils and doing all the things. And, you know, Jesus mentions himself on more than one occasion as being a servant. Stop and think about that. Matthew 20, verse 26 and 27. It says, but it shall not be so among you. But whosoever be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. A good leader has got to be a good servant. Can I have an amen? If you're going to be a leader over a ministry, you've got to be a good servant first. That's how you prove yourself. John knows what I'm talking about, being a building contractor and whatever. While you're working with your men, even though you may be boss over them, when you're working with them, you're training them, you're teaching them, they're learning things. They're learning that if they're ever going to be a leader in these particular areas of business and whatever, they've got to have a mentor. But not only do they need a mentor, they need to be a servant. Amen? And so we see that's what Jesus was. Jesus was the greatest example you and I have as far as to what servitude really is. Think about that. In Philippians 2:7, it says, and you can read more scriptures than just this, the ones before and even the ones after, but it's talking about Jesus. It said, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. Just speaking of Jesus, I mean, he left heaven with his omnipotence, his omnipresence, and his omniscience. He left heaven and came here to the earth, and he didn't come so he could be a boss over the whole or a ruler over the whole world. He came as a savior. The Bible says he came as a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Mark 10, 44 and 45, it says, and whosoever of you will be the chief or chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, I'm a servant. Whenever you're doing things out in public and whatever, I want you to know you're a servant for God. You have a testimony. You have the power of God in your life. Listen, the Holy Spirit's on the inside of you. You don't need to call the leadership of the church to go do something that you can do. I've never done it before. This is how you're going to learn. Amen. And we'll go with you the first time. And we'll help you and lead you through it and whatever. But listen, God wants you to be a servant, a successful servant in touching the world. And listen, we've got a big world out there that needs to be touched. A true servant, listen to me, a true servant will display many following characteristics. Here's the first one. He makes himself available to God to serve. You got to do that. You got to say, God, I'm making myself available. You know, when you make yourself available, you know what happens? God opens the windows of heaven and begins to lead and guide you in areas that you never thought that you would ever be. There's people in this church that has witnessed to that, said, Pastor Temple, whenever I made up my mind that I was going to do whatever I could do for God and I was going to be a true servant, not just show up on Sunday. I've had people say, well, I am a servant of God. I got saved and born again, and I'm there every Sunday. That's not what servitude is all about. It's good that you show up on Sunday, but it goes far beyond that. You have the ability with the power of God in your life to touch lives that no one else could touch. You'll be able to touch the untouchable, reach the unreachable, and bring people to Christ that maybe no one else could bring to Christ. You can be a sower of the seed, but God's always going to bring the increase if we'll give it to Him. So, you got to make yourself available to God. Here's another one. He does what is needed even when it's inconvenient. People say, well, I don't like to be inconvenient or inconvenient. That's still not right. I don't like the inconvenience and whatever that if I become a pastor, what if I get a call at 2 o'clock in the morning? You'll say, glory be to God. 2 o'clock in the morning, I get to go cast out some demons. But a lot of people say, oh, I don't know about that. 2 o'clock, I got to have my rest if I'm going to preach on Sunday. I had a guy call me one time Saturday night. I'd been witnessing to him. Call me Saturday night, and it was late. It was probably maybe 12, 1 o'clock. And he said, I'm in a bar in Midwest City. He said, I'm in a bar in Midwest City. I'm drunk. I can't drive home. And I need someone to come and pick me up. And I said, okay, I'll pick you up, but you're coming home with me. And I had to preach that Sunday morning. And so all night long, we sat there and we talked about the Bible and about salvation and what God's plan and purpose would be for his life. And the next morning, we never went to sleep. The next morning, we got ready and we went to church. I would say that's somewhat inconvenient. And I felt more powerful on Sunday than I'd ever felt without the sleep and whatever. Listen, God will energize you when you take advantage of inconvenience. I don't expect you to shout, but I'm shouting. Here's another one. He sees interruptions as divine appointments. Now listen, we can apply this to Jesus, and I can cover it even more next week. But blind Bartimaeus would be a good example. He cried out to Jesus, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. The disciples were saying to blind Bartimaeus, listen, leave the master alone. Jesus was inconvenient many times, and not only that, but he was interrupted many times, but he saw it as an appointment. The little woman with the issue of blood, the same thing. That's the life of a servant. That's the life God wants us to live. He also pays attention to needs. Have you ever been visiting with someone? Now this happens, I can tell you this happens to me all the time. You can be visiting with someone and there's just something about that person that you can see there's something wrong or there's a need that's there. And so you begin to get into it a little bit deeper and asking them questions and whatever, and then you find out some truth concerning them, their life, and where they're at and whatever, and it opens the door for everything. Listen, the world is full of needs today. Amen? And you can't say, well, now, wait a minute. I'm really busy right now, and I can't talk to you about your... Listen, we ought to be moved by needs, and they're all around us. You know, anytime I go to a restaurant or anytime I'm out in a department store or whatever, and I'm normally with Margaret, if that's where we're at, and she's buying stuff, she likes for me to be detained in a different department so she can buy what she wants to. But I'm just saying, I see so many opportunities. We used to go to Dillard's in Oklahoma City, and that's where Margaret would shop, because they had petites there. You know, she's just a little bitty thing. And so while we're there, for whatever reason, this sales lady began to just pour her heart out to us and whatever. And then I told her, I said, well, listen, I'm a pastor. I'd be happy to pray for you and minister to you. And right there in the store, we did that. And, you know, every time we came back, she would come and give me a report that was a good report on what was happening from that time we prayed. Listen, the world is full of needs. And a servant isn't going to walk away and say, listen, we're late for lunch. Amen. No, a servant is there to serve in whatever capacity God would want them to serve. And not only that, but a servant will view no task as being beneath them. It's like, well, I'm too high up on the totem pole or scale or whatever. I don't give myself to do stuff like that. No, you're a servant. Amen. You're a servant. You're going to do whatever God asks you to do. When a servant's heart is absent in their life, it affects the church. It affects everyone in the church. You know why 2022 is going to be different? Because we're going to be the servants God wants us to be. I had a pastor that told me one time, he was a very famous pastor in Houston, Texas. And talking about salvation and growing a church and whatever, here's what he said. He said, you know, pastors really don't grow churches. He said, because they're the shepherd. Now, I know we have an opportunity to be sheep too, but he said, it's sheep that bear sheep. He said, and they did very little advertising, if any at all, unless they was going to have a big conference or something of that nature. But anyway, he said, sheep bear sheep. And so he would challenge his congregation. He says, listen, sheep bear sheep. You go out and you bring them in. That's a part of servitude. And a lot of people say, well, that's the pastor. No, that's not the pastor's full responsibility. It's him to train and disciple and whatever. But then you can go out and do the work of the ministry. How many believe that's the way it works? Sheep bear sheep. When everyone is here on Sunday, I know we're dealing with holidays and whatever. If everyone went out and got one person and brought them in, we'd double in attendance. And then if they went out and did the very same thing, you know how fast we can grow when sheep bear sheep? Amen. Amen. We can do that, and that's what God wants us to do. Many Christians are unfulfilled simply because they're not serving. And God wants to give you the opportunity to do that. A successful Christian must have a servant's heart. Jesus was our ultimate example. Ultimate example. Look at Luke 22, verse 27. It says, for whether is greater, he that setteth at meat, these are questions that Jesus presented, or he that serveth, is not he that setteth at meat? That's a question, which is not the answer. He says, but I am among you as he that serveth. That's where the answer is at. Us serving and doing what God's called us to do. I love the story of Stephen as well. Do you know Stephen was a great example of what servitude really is? Whenever things got so busy after Pentecost, in the sixth chapter of the book of Acts, you'll find that the disciples came and said, listen, we've got to find seven men that can, basically they would become deacons in the sense that they would take care of all the contributions that are coming in and the distribution of whatever to take care of the widows and the orphans. Now you'd think, well, anyone that has any knowledge of all his business could do that. But here was the qualifications. The qualifications was you have to be honest, because a lot of the money changers that took care of stuff, they were crooks. He said, you've got to be honest. Be filled with the Holy Ghost and power, and be willing to sit at the tables where the money's coming in and the distribution of taking care of them. That's who you've got to be. That's who Stephen was. That's what all of them were. They were full of faith and power, had great wisdom, and they waited on tables in the sense, it says waited on tables, but they were taking care of the money. It was the contributions and the distribution of things that were happening. That's for those that are taking care of the widows and the orphans. Don't you think that they would have a lot of different needs as well? And yet again, they could be there to minister them. Listen, and matter of fact, in verse 8 it says that Stephen did great wonders and miracles among the people. So it wasn't a matter of just waiting on the tables there and taking the money and giving distribution. Their job was much bigger than that as a servant. Amen. Servanthood is exemplified by serving. Here's another good one. Servanthood will display a sensitive heart. I think that's something that every Christian needs, is a sensitive heart. Let me ask you this. Has He ever spoke to your heart and told you to do something for someone? I mean, if they were in need or whatever, maybe to buy someone's lunch. Servanthood is much bigger than that, but nonetheless, that's where you start. God will speak to you and say, go give that person. And you can say, well, they drive like almost a brand new car and whatever. You're telling me go give them $100? That's right. If God said it. I mean, often we want to weigh it out like, I don't think they deserve it. They drive a better... You don't know what's happening in your life, but I wouldn't care if they had $1 million. If God told me to do it, I'd go do it anyway. Because that's the way God raises us up as servants, to where we don't ask all these questions. We just simply do what God has asked us to do. Jesus responded with a sensitive heart to the needs of people. There's many examples, but Mark the 8th chapter, verses 1 through 3, it was the feeding of the 4,000. You know what the disciples wanted to do? They said, listen, send them away. Just send them away. And Jesus said, we can't do that. They've been with me many days here, and they're all hungry. They'll faint if they leave. And he said, no, we're going to feed them. And so he took what little was there, and he fed 4,000 people. He saw the needs of the people. You know, every time we walk into this church, we ought to see the needs of people. I don't care who you are. People you associate with and whatever, there can always be a need there. It may be for healing, it may be for deliverance, it may be for all kinds of things. But I'm telling you, there are needs. There are so many needs in this world today. I see someone in a wheelchair and I think, God could touch and heal that person. God can use you to do it. You know, here's the thing. Now don't get mad at me, okay? Here's the thing. We sit and we say, we want to see miracles in the church. We want to see deaf ears open and blind eyes open. We want to see all of these things. And yet again, we're the ones that's going to do it with God's help. God anoints us to do that. And yet we want to see it. How can you see it if you're not going to be a servant? Amen? Once we become the servant God wants us to have, God will give you more opportunities than you could ever imagine. So we must have a sensitive heart for the needs of others. And we must understand that servanthood is a lifestyle. It's an everyday thing. True Christianity is defined as servitude. And Jesus is the greatest example we can have. I would challenge you. Now, I read all over the Bible every week. But here lately, there's been two or three different subjects I've been spending a lot of time on. And I'm thinking, oh, you know, I preached that before, but I never preached it like that. It's not the way I preached it was wrong. It's just that I didn't go deep enough. Sometimes we need to go deeper than what we, than our thinking. And the only way we can do that is through the revelation of God's Word. What God has placed in you. Now listen, the Holy Spirit is in you. You agree with me on that? We just read that in 1 Corinthians 6. Why is He in you? Is it so you can be a blessing to yourself? No, it's so you can be a blessing. What God has put in you is what He wants you to share with the world. And sometimes we don't take the time to do it and we miss the blessing. Listen, God created good things in you. I mean, I get up every morning and I love the Word. I love speaking the Word over my life. And almost every morning I'm singing that song, "The Word is working mightily in me." Amen. And then I'll say, "And in Margaret," you know. And I'm there taking a shower and doing all that. Listen, there's power in the Word of God. You get that Word in you and you'll never be the same. You'll always look for opportunities. And whenever I go out to eat, Margaret and I, we look for opportunities, and we'll invite people to go to church and whatever. I know some of you do the same thing. We shouldn't be ashamed of that. They may have a church. You just give them your blessings. That's good. I'm glad you're in church and whatever. But listen, you're making a difference. You're opening doors, I believe, for God to use you in areas that that God would want to use you. And sometimes it seems like dry ground. It seems like I'm not making any progress at all. But listen, you're sowing the seed. Amen. You're planting. And someone else will come along and do something else, and before you know it, God's going to bring the increase. In 1 Peter 4:10, it says, as every man hath received the gift, that is the ability, whatever that may be, the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. What God has given us, God wants us to share it. If you don't know what God's given you, you need to get to a place that you know what God's given you so you can share it, so you can share it with the world. So what is the motive? What is the motive of serving? Well, God desires that you be a blessing using what He's put in you to bless others. God has put so much in us. I mean, you've heard the word for years, whether it be here or somewhere else. You've heard it over and over again, but sometimes we hear it and we never do anything with it. It's when we start doing something with it that it makes all the difference in the world. Listen, God created you for greatness. Amen. You can make a difference. A difference in your family, a difference in those that... I still stay after my classmates in high school. All the time I stay after them. If I see them, I talk to them, and they say, are you still pastor? Well, I've stepped down from pastoring. I'm just ministry's pastor now and whatever, but it doesn't make any difference. I mean, some of them got churches, and they said, well, listen, when we die, I want you to do my funeral. Because I told them I was going to live to be 120. They said, well, whenever I die, would you do my funeral? Absolutely, I'll do it. But you're going to have to give me more to work with than what you're giving me right now. Amen. And I witnessed to them. Amen. And it may seem like it's falling on deaf ears, but I'm telling you it's not. God will, listen, you do what you're supposed to do, and the Holy Ghost will do what you can't do. So servitude is a blessing. It should never be something that we dread or we desire not to do. It's something that we ought to want to do. Servitude is a true mark of what a Christian is. Serving God, doing what God's called us to do. Being a servant is what a disciple of Jesus is called to be, and that's what we've called to be. You know, a good example of this too, and I think it's in my notes, is concerning Jesus. You know, at the Last Supper, you know, we often look at Jesus and say, well, He was the Savior of the world. He's beyond doing any kind of a gesture that happened there at the Last Supper. I mean, Jesus literally washed the feet of His disciples. Now, how humbling can that be? That's who Jesus was. That's the reason why I challenge you. You need to read the Gospels over and over again and find out who Jesus really is and what He did in touching the hearts and lives of people. Yes, He's the Savior of the world. But listen, God didn't save you just so you could go to heaven. Amen. He saved you with a purpose so you could touch the hearts and lives of people that maybe only you can touch. Jesus, by His own example, He came to serve. Let me close with this. I want you to know that being a servant is honorable. I mean, I like serving. I think most of you, listen, this church is probably one of the most serving churches, I think, of any church. A lot of people, they just want to come and sit and do nothing. I'm happy just where I'm at. Listen, you're never going to be truly happy until you get in the place of what real servitude is all about. But servanthood is not, it's not a title of dishonor by any means of our imagination. It is a title that was given to some of the greatest patriarchs of the Old Testament. And not only that, but you're going to find in Scripture, it calls them servants. For instance, what about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Deuteronomy 9:27, he said, thy servants... speaking of them, thy servants. Moses in 1 Kings 8:53, he's spoken of as thy servant. Joshua 24:29, servant of the Lord. Caleb, Numbers 14:24, my servant. Job 1:8, my servant. Isaiah 20, Verse 3, my servant. The prophets, Jeremiah 7:25, my servants. Listen, that's who we are in the eyes of God. We're servants. Don't look at yourself as being way high up on the ladder from the standpoint that you're better than everyone else. No, I'm telling you, we're all servants serving together. And if we all do our part in this year, we can change a lot of people's lives. I think this could be the beginning of changing things in Choctaw, in the lives of your family, relatives, friends, people that you work with and whatever. Don't ever give up on someone. Are you listening? Don't ever give up on someone. I've got so many experiences in my life that I thought at the time when I was doing what I was doing that it was just absolutely futile. Have you ever witnessed to someone and thought, God, you're causing me to waste my time witnessing to this person or trying to win them? Whenever I was in college, my dad worked for City Service Oil Company. Some of you have heard some of this before. But during the summer, they would hire us as family, would hire us to work during the summer since my dad worked for them. And I was on a crew where you go out and you clear the trees and the things away from the line where the oil is flowing. And mostly this was around Cushing, but it was a lot. So when the line flyer on a plane, when he flies over, he can see where there's a leak. It comes to the surface. And so we would be called and we'd go out and we'd dig it out and whatever. And the welder would put a cap on it and whatever and repair it. You know what it's like working with guys like that? I mean, these were the foulest, nastiest guys that you could ever be around. I thought sailors were bad. Well, these guys were terrible. And I'd witness to them every day. They knew I was a Christian. And they would torment me, you know. And they would ask me questions and whatever, you know, about the Bible. It wasn't because I think they were trying to prove I didn't know it. And I didn't know it that well back then, but I knew what salvation was and I knew we were supposed to witness. And so so they would say things to me and whatever, and the things I would say back, I wouldn't say today. But I'd tell them, I said, listen, every one of you guys are going to hell. You're all going to hell. Every one of you is going to hell. And you're going to fall through the grate like a hot dog would, and you're going to be fried. I'd say everything in the world. And they just look at me, and they would grin and whatever. But, you know, several of those guys, before they died, some of them got cancer and died. Every one of them, they remembered what I said. I'd tell them about Jesus and about salvation. And before they died, they called me. One of them whose name was Jelly Hoggett. Who would want a name like that? He called me and he said, listen, he said, Dick, I got your number from your dad. And he said, I wanted to call you. He said, I'm dying of cancer, but I want you to know that I gave my heart and my life to Jesus. He said, I'm going to heaven. He said, I'm going to meet you up there. Our connection foreman, T.A., I forget his last name. I'll think of it. But anyway, he'd get me in the truck, me and another college young man that was working there. He'd get us in the truck and tell us some of the most awful stories and jokes and all that. And I'd say the very same. He couldn't fire me. There's no way they would fire us. But he'd tell me that, and I'd tell him the very same thing. T.A. Morris. I said, T.A., listen, you're going to go to hell. That was my words to these guys. And then there was another one, the same, very same thing. But T.A. Morris came to me at a banquet that they had for all the families during Christmas time. And any time he'd come up to me, he'd always tell me a dirty joke. But this time he came up, he said, Dick, I want to talk to you. I said, okay, good. I said, what about? He said, I want you to know that a little church down the street where I live, he said, I started attending, little Baptist church. He said, I've given my heart and my life to the Lord. He said, I don't cuss anymore. I don't tell bad jokes anymore. He was telling me all that. Man, I was getting happy. So you don't know whose lives that you're touching. These guys, I would have said, there's no way they're ever going to be saved and born again. And yet they're going to be in heaven. They're probably waiting for me. They're going to have to wait another 40 years. Amen. If Jesus tarries anyway. Listen, there's a lot of wonderful patriarchs that we can learn from, and I believe God wants us to do that. I want you to see that servitude is more than just showing up on Sunday. It's more than just cooking a meal and giving it to someone. Listen, there's people out there that need what you got. And you're under obligation of God because you belong to God. You're under obligation to go to those people and witness to those people, love those people into a fellowship that is going to be beyond anything they could ever imagine. Serving God is fun. Amen. Being a servant is fun. Being able to witness to people and help people. Come on, stand with me this morning.